We're doing Pirkei Avot with the Jewish home. We're up to the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avot, the tenth Mishnah. The fourth Mishnah. And this Mishnah, at first glance, is talking about different things that revolve around the number 10. And after we learn it, we'll try to see if we see a connection. So the Mishnah says, Asara nisim nasu la'avotenu b'mitzrayim. There were 10 miracles that were done for our forefathers in Egypt. So the simple understanding here is that there were the 10 plagues, and those were plagues that should have afflicted the Jews just like the Egyptians. And Hashem made a miracle. Aside from the miracle of the plague, there was a miracle that was done on behalf of our forefathers, that they were saved from the plague. Vasara alayam, and 10 miracles were done on behalf of our forefathers by the sea, where again, we had the miracle of the splitting of the sea, that the sea took a special form to protect them, that the floor of the sea dried out and they could cross over it, that the Egyptian floor where they would cross over the sea, they got stuck in the tar and the mud, that the water became like small stones, so that it wasn't like one pyramid, it was like bricks, that okay, there's a whole listing here among the commentaries and in the Medrash. What were the 10 miracles that transpired as we crossed the sea? Asara nisyonot nisu avoteinu et hamakom baruch hu bamidbar. Our forefathers tested the omnipresent, blessed be He, in the desert. They tested God 10 times. And we discussed earlier that to test God means that's a sin where a person acts out of doubt. Is God really watching? Can God really do something? It's a doubt in God. That's why these sins are enumerated separately. There are other sins the Jewish people did in the desert, but these were 10 sins that were focused on that question. As the verse says, when they did the final sin of the spies, God says, they've tested me 10 times, they didn't listen to me. So that's our Mishnah. So the Mishnah begins with 10 miracles Hashem did on our behalf in Egypt, 10 miracles by the sea, and concludes with the 10 tests that we did towards God. So I think the simple reading of the Mishnah points to a simple idea. Look at what Hashem did for us, and look at what we did for Him. Hashem gives us 10 miracles in Egypt. Hashem gives us 10 miracles by the sea. And in return, we question Hashem on 10 different occasions. So that, I think, is a simple understanding in the Mishnah. And I think that leads us to a simple concept. As simple as it is, it's a concept that's a recurring theme in all of our lives. The idea of kfiyut tova, the idea that someone does something positive for someone else, and he lacks appreciation. And this is a theme which you can really follow throughout the Tanakh. So let's begin. What was Adam's sin? So there's a big machlokas what Adam's sin was. Eve, well, she ate the forbidden fruit. Adam, he made a mistake. He didn't explain things accurately to Eve. So Eve, either she thought she's not allowed to touch the tree, and then when she touched it, nothing happened. She thought everything else is a lie, or whatever. There's a discussion how Adam misled Eve. He didn't do it on purpose, but he made a mistake. But that wasn't his sin. What was Adam's sin? So one understanding is he ate the forbidden fruit. But if you learned together with us the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, the Medrash says that she said, "Have some of this," and Adam ate it. And after he ate it, he said, "Gee, I feel so different. What'd you just give me to eat? What is that?" According to the Medrash, he didn't know what he was eating. So he was a shogeg. Why did he get such a harsh punishment? 10 curses? Just like she got cursed 10 curses, he got cursed 10 curses. So one understanding says that his sin was not the forbidden fruit. That he did by mistake. He didn't know. His major sin was what he answered God when God asked him, "What'd you do?" And Adam said, "That woman you put here with me. She." God gives him a gift, and he doesn't appreciate the gift. So kfiyut tova, according to one understanding, is the original sin of Adam. Eve's original sin is something else, but Adam's original sin is kfiyut tova. And the theme repeats itself. Time after time, be it with Cain and Hevel, Cain's jealousy causes him to overlook the blessings that he had, he's ready to kill Hevel. Be it with the people in the generation of the flood, as much blessing as God gave them, they only utilized it to promote their own desires, and they forgot that God ever blessed them. And then you come back to the sin of Ham, and then you move on to the Tower of Babel, where the people are described as B'nei HaAdam, the descendants of that Adam, that the Medrash says, God said, look at them, they're just like Adam, just like he had no appreciation, they have no appreciation. I give them all the blessing, and they try to fight me. And then you move on to Sodom and Amorah, where the verses in Job say that God gave them all this blessing, and they weren't interested, they had no appreciation. You see that this is a recurring theme in humanity. Where do you see the opposite of this theme? You see that in Avraham Avinu. You see that in Moshe Rabbeinu. You see that the giants of world history and the giants of Jewish history, these were people who had tremendous appreciation. They were able to look at something and say, thank you so much. And this is maybe the most pivotal point within a marriage. The book, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. So in that book, he quotes that they interviewed many women who ran away from home, ran away from their husbands, and over 50% said that the reason they ran away from home was because they felt they weren't being appreciated. So this is maybe the greatest point. The greatest point that women need, the greatest point that men fail at, the capacity to show appreciation. So, where do we start? So the first place to start is like any midah. You fake it. That's how do you acquire any midah? You want to love someone, behave like you love them. You want to be humble, behave like you're humble. You want to be happy? Behave like you're happy. Put on this big smile and say thank you. And believe me, over time, it becomes real. Yeah?
Yeah, my dad had a saying that you are what you're supposed to be, and that's why actors have so many problems. And I heard someone on the radio confirm something like that. It's like, you know, all too often people come up to me and say, you know, I have a hard time being happy. And I know person B has a tougher life than me, and he's happy all the time. So what I tell these people, I tell them, put a smile on your face. You don't have to mean it. You don't have to mean it. That's why, you just put the smile on. And so, eventually it'll become like more real to you. Become more natural to you. It becomes a part of your character if you can do that.
So, there are a few things. First of all, let's begin with the Rambam. The Rambam in Shmona Prakim, in his introduction to Pirkei Avos, he says this concept. He says, behave like you have a midah, and with time you'll have that midah, you'll have that trait. So the first point is habit. To get into the habit of showing appreciation. Thank you. Thank you so much. The waiter brings something, you need something else. So then it's a good habit to say, I'm sorry to trouble you. I know you're working so hard. Would it be possible to also... You talk that way. You get used to expressing the care for the other person, the appreciation for what the other person is putting into it. With time, it becomes real. So in the beginning, it won't be real. But with time, it becomes real. So that's number one. Number two, we have to notice. all too often we don't notice. Of course the yeshiva has to give me supper. Why should I say thank you to the guy who's giving it to me? Why should I say thank you to the bus driver? That's his job, he's getting paid. And you know what? It's a never-ending cycle. Why should I say thank you to my wife? I make the money in the house. Of course she cooks and bakes. She's so lucky to have a husband like me. Oh, if only she knew what's out there. She doesn't begin to appreciate what a great guy she got. You know, you guys are laughing. I could tell you almost every couple I've met with has that attitude. They might not say it, but down under, everyone thinks that way. Because at the end of the day, we all feel like we're God's gift to mankind. We don't like to admit it. I'm sorry for being so blunt. And I have to tell you, I happen to be with a group of guys that maybe you guys really are God's gift to mankind. But at the end of the day, right?
Oh, do you think like that?
Of course I think like that. You asked me an honest question, I gave you an honest answer. 100%. But I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm on this planet for 30 some odd years. And I only figured out that I was thinking like that 20 some odd years ago. So I've been working on it. You know, it's mind over matter. Of course. I think every person thinks like that, of course. The question is, what do you do with it? Meaning, do you say, so everyone should appreciate me? Look at, you guys are so lucky, I'm sitting up here, right? Or do you say, I'll tell you, my father brought us up with the following Dvar Torah. My father used to repeatedly tell us, remember that the word malach doesn't have to mean angel, but could also mean messenger. And Hashem sends malachim in this world to help other people. Make sure you're a malach in as many people's lives as you can be. My father used to repeatedly tell us, your job is to be an angel. Not an angel in the sense of being godly. An angel in the sense that you'll be that messenger in people's lives. That's the equivalent of a malach. If Hashem had to send an angel to make their lives good, so you'll be that angel. Remember that people can also be malachim. A malach is also a messenger. So if a person walks around thinking, oh, I'm God's gift to mankind, they should all appreciate me, so then plays itself out one way. If a person thinks, my job is to be God's gift to mankind, I have to live up to that, then a person plays it out differently. And I think a person has to make that switch. And part of it is a person should have real confidence in who they are and what they've done. And then they will have capacity to have real appreciation of other people. There's a fantastic book. He says a lot, but it's still a good book. Called The 7 Habits of Influential People. And one of the first things he discusses there is that most people want you to be listening to them, to be really interested in what they have to say. And most people are not at all interested in listening to you. They're interested in getting you to listen to them. And if you can give them the feeling that you're really interested in listening to them, then you've already acquired a friendship and the potential that maybe one day they'll also listen to you. Now, how many times do couples argue and you're not listening to me? No, you're not listening to me. No, I've been trying to tell you this for years. You guys are laughing, but it's classical.
Yes.
Ask the average couple. Go think about you and your chavrusa. How many times do you argue? And each one's just trying to get the other one to be intelligent enough to just listen to me and understand me. If only he were gifted enough to appreciate the wisdom of what I'm saying, we wouldn't be having this argument. So we don't say it that way, but that's what we're really thinking. That's why we get frustrated. That's why we yell. This poor dumb creature called my wife. If she'd only have the intelligence, she'd listen to me. But she doesn't. It's not that way. But I have to be humble enough, true enough, to listen. And that falls into the question of appreciation too. Why can't I show her appreciation? Because I'm too busy thinking about how great I am. If I could stop thinking about how great I am and start thinking, wait a second, maybe I don't deserve anything. Maybe I'm getting much more than I deserve. Maybe I should stop and say thank you. then maybe everything else plays itself out differently. You have a people that had 10 miracles in Egypt. Wow. 10 plagues, and they're saved time after time, and God takes them out of Egypt miraculously. Then as they're coming out of Egypt, they have the splitting of the sea. No one else had this in world history. And they have 10 miracles in the splitting of the sea. God could have made the sea shallow, they'll cross, and then a wave will come down and sweep the Egyptians off their feet. No, we have 10 miracles. Split the sea, make it into little blocks of water, frozen water. Make the water flat, make them go across. 10 miracles, intricate miracles as they're crossing the sea, and then it comes crashing down on the Egyptians. And how do we continue behaving? We keep testing God. Can you, can't you? Can you, can't you? Where's our dedication? But again, that's why I think this is a recurring theme throughout humanity. This is, we see it in Tanakh from the beginning of time. So that teaches us that this is something we have to work on. It doesn't come easy. You could see all the miracles in the world. You could have the perfect wife. It blows my mind sometimes. The spouses that people have and the lack of appreciation they have. When you're an outsider, you see it. Sometimes I feel like I'm pulling my hair out. I have to keep myself from saying to husband or wife. It goes both ways. But the husbands are more problematic in this than the wives. No, because by the very nature of marriage, the wife is usually doing much more for the husband than the husband is for the wife. Or maybe her job is less appreciated. Because what she cooks gets eaten, what she cleans gets dirtied, the laundry she does gets worn, the ironing she does gets undone. Everything she does is repetitive, and you know, you're stepping all over it. But so there's not so much appreciation. He's the doctor. He's the lawyer. He's making $1 million a year. He's going out and working. What a big deal. She's feeding the kids. She's bringing them up. She's doing the essence of life. But the appreciation, everyone appreciates him. And what about her? Ah, she's like the donkey carrying the load. But she isn't. She's the essence of life. But people don't see it and don't appreciate it. Our job is to appreciate it. Which starts with the smallest things. The smallest things a person has to look for. The first thing I tell couples when we meet is, how many compliments can you get in a half hour? Try, have a contest. Real compliments, not a game. Think about it. Thank you so much for washing my shirt. Thank you for ironing it. Thank you for sweeping the floor today. Thank you for taking care of the kids. Thank you for feeding them. Thank you for putting them to bed. Thank you for cleaning up the dishes from supper. If you stop and think about it, you have to say thank you for all these things. Why not? Yeah. Why do we take it for granted? You say, yeah, but can you imagine yourself doing that 10 years into marriage? Of course she cleans off the dishes. What do you mean? Of course he goes out to work. When was the last time a wife thanked her husband when he came home from work and said, you know, you really work hard to make life work for us, and I really appreciate it. You don't hear that. You don't hear a husband telling a wife that either, but we should. And our lives would look differently. And we all need it. And even if initially it doesn't feel real, as a person gets into the habit, he learns to make it real. And even if your wife initially tells you, you faker, what do you want? So you say, I just want to tell you thank you. Bezalel, you wanted something?
I have some questions. You said about when someone wants to smile and all kinds of things, that people should fake that nida so they can be part of them. When it comes to this nida appreciation, it's very hard because people need to get out of your bubble. It's not just a shoot that you say thank you to someone, because you need to notice that person exists. You need to notice all their load, all their sacrifices. And probably it's not as simple as to fake a smile. Because you need to get adopted automatically in order for you to appreciate others.
Right, but by starting with faking it, you can get to it.
The question is if you can even fake it, like a smile. Smile is you. You tell your muscles to smile. When it comes to appreciate someone, you need to get out of many constructive bubbles before you can realize that that person exists and is doing something special. No?
That's true, but again, if you begin by faking it, you could get there.
In order to fake it, you need to realize. Right? It already starts.
So that's why I do an unnatural experiment. I say, I challenge you. How many compliments can you give in a half hour? Oh, but you know, if you force yourself, if you take this half hour is when I give compliments.
That's a problem sometimes, because sometimes there are this kind of people, they never believe whatever you say, you know, like, oh, you did something nice.
It takes time. It takes time. It takes time. It's a habit. She'll get used to it. I agree with you.
Sometimes I realize probably I'm the one that's overreacting, because pretty much I say, oh, this is nice. This weather is nice. Your food is nice. Probably it's too many compliments.
Watch.
For me, people
are watch. I'll show you a conversation. Sprinza, the supper was amazing. Thank you so much for going out and buying those potatoes and peeling them and washing them and cooking them. Chaim, shut up. Sprinza, I'm serious. I don't even know how to show the appreciation, you know. You bought all those and you brought it home and you washed it and you cooked it and you served it and you're washing the dishes and you dealt with the kids. Chaim, what do you want from me? Chaim, what's up your sleeve? You're full of baloney, so what do you want? Sprinza, I'm not joking. I'm serious. You know, I know I never said this before, but the time has come. I have to say it. It's not right. You've done so much. You cleaned up the house. You took care of the kids. You took care of their runny noses. You put them to bed. The next sentence is probably going to be, Chaim, you don't know the half of it. Chaim, you don't begin to appreciate what I do for you. Sprinza, you're 100% right, but I have to start somewhere. I'll get there. Chaim, don't bother. No, Sprinza, I can't continue without telling you thank you. Now, why am I playing this out to you? Because you have to be prepared that she doesn't know how to take it either. We don't know how to take compliments, but I can tell you that over time, it might take a week, it might take a month, it might take half a year, it'll become such a part of life, and suddenly life is much more beautiful. And don't expect her to give it back so fast.
Is there also a limit to compliments people? We can listen from other people?
No.
Bad question.
Uri, I'll get to you in 1 second. Yeah. I'm with you.
How come we can't understand, according to some Jerusalem, I can't understand that Abraham didn't realize how Sarah was still Sinua before the
Quite the contrary. I think that's the beautiful example. That the fact that Avraham Avinu needed external stimuli to appreciate his wife even more, that tells us Avraham had tremendous appreciation for his wife. You could always have more. You could always have more. That's the way I feel. I think that just teaches us more how we can all grow in it. And if you stop and think about it, I have a friend who buried a child. And he told me that after he buried his child, I think it was a son, I was already out of the country when the kid was born, and when he passed away, it was all when I wasn't there. He told me that after that, he took upon himself that every time he says modim, he stops and thinks about something he never said thank you, that he never thanked Hashem for. He said, you know, I cried so hard. And then I asked myself, but how many times did I thank Hashem for the other children I have? How many times did I thank Hashem for all the other blessings I have in my life? So he decided, he took upon himself then, that every Shmona Esrei, he has to find something that he never said thank you for before, and he won't finish the Bracha Modim, he won't leave his Shmona Esrei, till he said thank you for something that he never said thank you before. Now, just so you understand what type of person this guy is, he once told me that from the day he got married, he's already a grandfather, from the day he got married, he never missed a day, leaving a note for his wife in the morning when he went out for work, a note of appreciation. And I don't think he was saying the same thing every day. But the truth is, there's so much to say. It's because we're so full of ourselves that we can't see it.
Is that sometimes people get used to compliments that imagine his wife getting a very beautiful note every morning. It's not like she gets used to it, and one day for some reason he will not write.
Yeah, it's good that we get used to good things, yeah?
It should be like lack of something that, yeah?
Yeah. think for a minute how you would feel if every morning when you got up, your wife left you a note of appreciation. You wouldn't say, this is a problem, you know, I'm getting used to this. One day you might not do it, and how am I going to live with that?
No, I understand. No, no, but next time, you know, we'll not be there, like, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's true. But isn't that a beautiful thing?
It's possible, yeah.
I don't remember exactly what... I'm telling you the story, it's not exactly accurate. I don't remember the exact details, but it went something along these lines. I would learn with the kids every morning in the summer, and at the end of the learning, with each child, I'd say, thank you, I really enjoyed the learning, it was great, and then I'd wish them goodbye. Now, the kids got a sweet at the end of each morning's learning. One morning, with one of the kids, we finished the learning, and I went on to the next kid, and I didn't say thank you, I really enjoyed the learning. And the kid stood there and stood there, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, what do you want? And he said, you didn't tell me thank you. I was like, oh, wow, you're right. Thank you, I really enjoyed the learning. It was so much fun, they thought. So, yeah, people do get used to having appreciation showered on them, but that's a good thing. We all need that. Yeah.
I was going to say, speaking about appreciation, when you appreciate this guy, he did work hard, but he didn't exactly have as much appreciation for his wife as he should have, right? She's at the home, and I spent a lot of time with, like, you know, my friend over at his house, and I would see his mom working and ironing and doing this and doing that. She would work. At the end of the day, though, all her rambunctious kids would just undo everything. And so the father would come home and be like, what have you been doing all day? Like, not, and she would, sometimes it would be bad. Like, she would go, I've been doing, I've been working. He'd be like, no, you've been doing nothing, blah, 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 doing nothing, right? So, you know, she's like, okay, I do nothing. Okay, I do nothing. I'll really do nothing tomorrow. So, guy comes home, you know, whatever you believe. The next day he comes home, house is a mess, it's trash, his clothes everywhere. He thought the place had been robbed, he was worried, he ran. He ran upstairs, he saw his wife, you know, just sitting there, you know, reading the book. He's like, oh, thank goodness, I was so worried. I thought we got robbed. She's like, yeah, today I didn't do my job. I'm looking at the house.
Yeah. I say, you know, you asked me about me. I had, my wife was in forced bed rest, one of the pregnancies, and I had to deal with the kids. And people asked me, how's it going? And I said, it's going really good. And I think every husband should have a taste of this, because you just can't appreciate what's happening until you have to do it. Every time, until it falls on you, you don't, like your story, as much as you want to appreciate, it's just, it's very, very hard, and as much as you'll appreciate, you won't get there. Now, I think that we have to touch on one more point, which Bezalel touched on, which is a big part of the hindrance that we have from giving appreciation. And it really breaks out into two concepts, but their root is the same, I think. And that is really our ego. And it breaks out into two directions. One is, there's a certain competition that people very often have with everyone, including their spouse. And so if I appreciate her so much and she's so great, so what am I? And people don't realize that it's the exact opposite. If you're going to be able to show her that appreciation, if you're going to be able to show her that she's amazing, then she'll show you that you're amazing. If you're going to show her how little she's worth, then she'll show you that you're worth even less. She's going to mirror you. So if you want her to appreciate you, that you got to appreciate her. And you got to start the ball rolling. Spend 6 months of appreciation. You'll start seeing feedback. And the other angle is a little bit deeper, but it's just as potent, and it also stems from ego. And that goes back to the word modeh. In Hebrew, the word modeh means to thank. And it means to admit. And the idea is really the same. When I show appreciation, when I thank, I'm really admitting that I needed you. I'm admitting that you did something of importance. And that obligates me. And one of the most intrinsic parts of the human psyche is the desire to be free. I don't want to owe anyone anything. And so the easiest way for me to be free to do what I want is to deny what other people have done for me. Because if I admit that she's done so much, so then when I come home at night, I don't really have an excuse to sit by the internet. I should really go up there and do the dishes. I should really take out the garbage. I should really do a million things if I really appreciate what she did. I should really take the time to show that appreciation. It is so obligating. I don't want to admit it. And of course, no one has it in their conscience. No one is going to be so cruel to tell you, I can't admit she's done all that because then I owe her something. It's in the subconscious. And I think that that's really pshat in the story of Lot and Avram. We read this 2 weeks ago, that when Lot left Avram, their paths parted. Here you have an orphan. Avram took care of him. He took him in. He brought him up. He taught him monotheism. He taught him morality. And Lot goes out to the most sinful area of the planet. He goes out to the Sodomites. And he says, we have on tradition that Lot said, I want to have nothing to do with Avram and nothing to do with his God. You don't like Avram, fine, but if monotheism was true, why are you leaving that too? So I think that it's the same concept. Why don't I like Avram? Because if I like him, then I owe him. He took me in, I was an orphan. I don't want to have appreciation because that's limiting. Then I can't go live with the Sodomites. Then I can't go out to the promiscuous area of the planet. I can't go to these sinners. I owe him something. He took care of me. It's the same idea with God. If I admit his existence, if I admit what he's done on my behalf, I owe him something. I don't want to owe him something. I want to do what I want. And that's a big part of the denial we all have to showing appreciation. And this goes for many relationships. It goes for our relationship with our parents. It goes for our relationship with the yeshiva. It goes for our relationship with our roommates. Every one of us can list, if I had asked you, give me a list of 10 grievances about your roommate, you could each give me that. 10 grievances about the yeshiva, you could all do that. 10 grievances about your parents, you could all do that. Now I'll tell you, give me a list of 10 things of appreciation for your parents. You'd regurgitate. You could film 3, 5, 7. Come on, wait a second. I don't understand. Your whole life. And you'll admit that you're going to force yourself logically to write things, but you don't feel it. You don't allow yourself to feel it. Because if you did, it would be so constricting. Write 10 things of appreciation for the yeshiva. You could fill a whole page of grievances against the yeshiva. It's not hot enough, not spacious enough, the food, the yeshiva, the rabbeim. You could write a book. What about appreciation? It's so hard. If I really had appreciation, maybe I had to do something. Maybe if I saw a piece of paper on the floor, I'd have to pick it up. But why should I appreciate the yeshiva like that? It's obligating. What about our wives? Oh, it's tenfold. You know how obligating that would be if I really appreciated her? Oh. So, the word modeh, that twofold interpretation, to thank, to admit, that's a big part of why we can't, or we don't, we could, but we don't want to have appreciation, because that would be so limiting. So it's much better for me to think about, I'm so great, oh, everyone's so lucky to have me, she doesn't even appreciate me, she doesn't even know, and if only everyone else would know, the yeshiva's lucky to have a student like me. Everyone's lucky to have me around. As we said originally, I'm God's gift to mankind. You guys just aren't smart enough to figure it out yet. One day you'll appreciate it, but so far I'm the only one that's in on that secret. And the world will slowly figure it out. And that's the way most people live their lives. They don't say it. No one's going to admit it to you. Everyone's going to say, nah, not me. No. He's talking to someone else. But deep down inside, that's a problem. And to an extent, some people live with a continued frustration. It's so frustrating that people don't appreciate me. Where the key is what we quoted earlier from that book. Take the time to listen to him. Take the time to show him appreciation. Take the time to focus externally. And believe me, with time, you're going to be people's most cherished friend, because at the end of the day, the world is thirsting. Tov, what did we see today? So we discussed the 10, we're, one second, we discussed the 10 miracles and our response, the 10 tests. And we discussed that this is a natural phenomenon. We discussed the history throughout the Tanakh of man's lack of appreciation. We discussed the reasoning behind it, that to a great extent it would obligate us, to an extent it's our ego, it's competition, it's habit. And we discussed that one can overcome it by force of habit. We discussed that little exercise of taking a half hour where one only shows appreciation. Tov, to be continued, Bezat Shem, next week.